It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's 269 days until Utah and BYU play again in the season opener. What's in store for these two teams? Rivals has arrived. All right, welcome to another edition of Rivals. Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck. That's right, football season, regular season's over. Everyone knows where they're going to go for their bowl game. We're all starting to get ready for Christmas. And we're almost at the dawn of a new year, which is really close to my birthday. It's okay, Jason. You don't have to get me a birthday present. We're still friends.
I'm going to take you out for your birthday, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to eat at JCW and go to a movie.
A movie.
Yeah.
A burger and a movie with Jason Buck. Boy, I don't know if life is better than that right there, folks.
The movie is going to be an A-kicking, violent, wild suspense machine.
So, as football fans,
not a girly movie.
No. As football fans, we are addicted to our sports. We are.
Oh, yeah.
We're addicted, and we are hoping that next year will be better than this year. And we just think, you know, we're almost there, or we got, where are things going to be? So, we're going to talk here for the next little while about BYU, and then we'll talk about Utah. And what are the prospects for next season, and where are these teams, and what can we reasonably, realistically expect? Because we're already gearing up for this, and they're going to face each other again the first game of the season.
Yeah.
So, Jason, in your humble opinion, in your unbiased, I don't know, is it filtered
or unfiltered?
Yes. Where are the BYU Cougars next season?
You know, I mean, after watching them for the last 4 years, you know, I just have to say it's going to be similar.
Four more years? Is it going to be 4 more years?
It's going to be similar. This next season will be similar to last year. They're going to get some wild wins that we don't expect, and then they're going to have some duh losses that we're like, why did you lose that one? And they'll probably end up, you know, around the same, 6-6, 7-5, just based on what I've seen. I mean, they've got 3 good quarterbacks. I like them. There's some, you know, positives in there, but with where they're going right now, Independence, I think, is just, you know, it's just killing them. And, you know, last weekend, I want to bring this up because it's just a burr in my saddle. I'm watching all the conference championships last weekend, and then I go down into the G5 conference championships, and Memphis is playing Cincinnati, and Boise State's playing Hawaii, and they're talking about, well, man, it's going to be between Memphis and Boise State who gets to go to the Cotton Bowl. They're talking about it, right? And I'm like, all you BYU fans out there, please just picture this. Can you imagine leading up to last week's conference championships, BYU is in the hunt. They're 12-1 or 13-0, some great magical season like the old days. And they're in the situation, they're in the position of Boise State or Memphis, and they're playing for a conference championship, and all the sports centers and national talking heads are talking about, hey, BYU or Memphis or BYU, Boise State, if BYU's in the AAC, it doesn't matter. They're in the hunt for the Cotton Bowl. And BYU actually gets to go to a Cotton Bowl from a conference championship game out of the G5, and Utah just stubbed their toe and fell on their face and missed the big mega, you know, college playoffs or even the Rose Bowl. And BYU's now going to Cotton Bowl. You're up one, right? It's what – you're the Cinderella. You're the Cinderella story. You're the Rocky story. You're getting there. You're in the talk of the national media. You're relevant.
So being in a conference is a real thing.
It's a real thing. And we could have been there in something like that, and we should be in there year in and year out in that hunt like we saw last weekend. But was anybody talking about BYU last weekend? No. We're on our way to the Hawaii Bowl.
So I understand your frustration.
It's just frustrating. Valid point. For me watching it last week.
I let you go down your rabbit hole,
I went.
Now, but where is BYU going to be next year? I mean, you're saying 6 wins, 7 wins.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. with me. I don't care if it's 10.
It'd be awesome.
Right. But it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same result. And I say that because I really agree a lot with you. And for some reason, there's this perception at BYU that they would be going backwards, that it's not an upward move to actually be in a conference like the Mountain West or the AAC.
People are listening to Tom Homo's pitch. That's his pitch.
Yeah, that's beneath them. They make more money on ESPN. But I'm telling you, you're losing the war. You may have won some battle here, but you're losing the war on the interest in your program.
Yes.
I think next year it's going to be extremely difficult for BYU to win more than 6 games.
I do too.
And not
I do too.
Their
I'm
schedule
nice
next year.
Six and six.
Their schedule next year is really tough.
It's brutal.
It is really tough. I mean, it's not the beginning of the season and then it tapers off. It's the beginning of the season, and then you're going to have the likes of Utah State and Boise State,
Houston.
You're going to have Houston. You're going to have Stanford. You're going to have a lot of these really, really tough teams. Now, of course, Stanford was bad this year, but you can't expect them to be bad every year.
Right. They got a great coach.
But what they have is they have good, challenging Power 5 opponents throughout their schedule next season. And so
yeah, at Minnesota. Minnesota's playing well now.
I just looked at it, and I'm like, this is a tough schedule because they have Michigan State. They are at Arizona State. They're at Minnesota. They have Utah State. They have Missouri. They have Houston. They're at Northern Illinois, which is a good team.
They're at
Boise. They have San Diego State, and they have North Alabama and Stanford.
Yeah,
this is so they're
crazy
at Utah.
Schedule.
They're going to lose that game. They could lose Michigan State. They could lose at Arizona State. They could be 0-4. Before they come home in October against Utah State.
Yeah, and then you got to add the independence factor that you're just an exhibition game for everybody. You're not a conference. You're not playing for that, you know, conference win and rivalry each week. And it's just, I'm telling you, that exhibition game factor, if you will, impacts the game and what are you playing for?
I want to do this really quick because this is crazy.
That's a nutty
schedule. I want to go through the schedule really quick here, and I want you to don't say I think they can win. I want you to tell me the sure
to
win.
To try to make an honest pick.
Just say what this, like
at Utah, right? The game's at Utah.
So that's not a sure win.
No.
Michigan State.
At Michigan State.
It's home.
Oh, is it home?
But
no.
It's not like playing UMass, right?
No, it's not a sure.
At Arizona at Arizona State.
No.
At Minnesota.
No.
Utah State at home. That may be the easiest game to start with because Gary Anderson, we're not sure where that program is going to be.
Yeah, we're not sure. He's on the rebuild, getting his thing going again.
Missouri.
No.
Houston.
No.
At Northern Illinois.
No.
Maybe. It's like a Toledo.
You and I are both that Northern Illinois Utah
I know.
Game
I know.
Last year, the year before.
At Boise State.
They're stingy. At Boise State, no. They're going to be ticked. Boise State is ticked because they kept them out of the Cotton Bowl this year.
Right.
That's a revenge game for Boise
State. San Diego State.
No. They just lost to them.
North Alabama Lions. That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Okay. So you're one yes. Well, you're one yes and a maybe because Utah State is not a given.
No.
And then they're at Stanford.
No. At Stanford, no.
I mean, you have one game.
One game
that's
guaranteed.
One game on your schedule that's a guaranteed win.
Yeah.
And the rest could go – it's 50-50 at best.
At best?
Yeah.
At best.
Like Michigan State was not good this year.
I give them a 50-50 on the Utah State game.
Right.
You know, that'd be one of their better
– But I'm just – I'm what I'm talking about is like a for sure win.
Yeah, for sure win. You got
– This is a brutal
– for sure win.
This is a brutal schedule.
Or this year you had Idaho State and UMass.
Brutal schedule for BYU.
Yeah. Brutal schedule.
We're going to take a break.
So it's going to be tough on my guys.
Going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about where is it for the Utes. Because they lose everyone on defense and lose the best quarterback. It'll be interesting. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Rivals. Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck. Of course, we talked about the old BYU Cougars. And now we're going to talk about the Utah Utes. So here's Utah's situation. Eight guys on the team are all-conference players, six of them on defense, two of them on offense, and seven of these guys on defense will probably end up being NFL guys. A lot of talent, but where do they look next year? Because they have their whole entire offensive line back. All of their receivers are back except for one. All of their running backs are back except for Zach Moss, which is that's a loss. But yeah, there's a lot of talent.
They got a lot of depth there.
A lot of depth, a lot of talent. They have the transfer from South Carolina, who was very good in the SEC before he was injured. Guy can throw the ball. He's a transfer portal, grad transfer guy. And then they have this Cam Rising, who's a Texas transfer, who was really, really pretty good at Texas too. So there's a replacement, possibly a better overall quarterback playing next year at Utah than they had in Tyler Huntley. Offensively, this could be a really good football team again.
Yeah, they return that much talent.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be better.
And so on defense, they have, you know, they were so deep at defensive line that they literally have pretty much a returning defensive line comparable to what they had this year. Devin Lloyd will be back at linebacker. Sione Lund played some, who's pretty good, will be another linebacker. And they have some guys in the secondary at the safety position. So the only place they've really got to replace someone is at corner. And they'll probably lose both of their corners. So this is a pretty decent Utah team.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of start winning a little bit and guys kind of start knowing how to win. And you wonder if that's going to rub off next year. You wonder if maybe some of the pressure, the expectation is going to not be there for Utah next year. They've got USC at home. They have Washington at home. They're probably their tougher opponents that they're going to have. They're at Arizona State. They're at Cal. They're going to be at Colorado, which is improving. They're going to be at Washington State, which always gives them fits.
Yeah,
you know. So they have BYU at home. They have Montana State at Rice Eccles, and then they're at Wyoming. Thank you, Chris Hill, for that one.
They're at Wyoming?
They're at Wyoming, yes.
What?
So they
do they get a home and away with Wyoming? I'm guessing.
I'm sure they did. Here. Yeah, but yeah. It's so if you're really serious about getting in the college football playoffs, that non-conference is not good. But again, that's my whole point is that they tried to make it easy so they could just kind of compete in the Pac-12 instead of saying we have a bigger picture here, and the picture at Utah has not been college football playoffs. It's just been, let's just kind of, you know, try to tread water in the Pac-12.
Which is so not me. I'm like,
right.
You give me the epitome, the ultimate goal, and that's where I'm going. It's college football playoffs every year. Every year you're shooting for it. You're working your off season. You're that's every workout and every push-up and squat and sprint and everything you do is for that ultimate goal.
There's a possibility of Utah competing again and even possibly being a favorite in the Pac-12 South again. I mean,
well, if that whole offense returning like that, and you know they'll load up the defense again with a really solid defense. It might be a little bit younger, less experienced, but
you have really good coordinators, Morgan Scally and Andy Ludwig. So,
yeah, so
there's a lot of really good things at Utah. Let's just their whole non-conference, they'll win. Sorry, BYU. They're going to have a tough game against Arizona State. They're gonna compete against Cal, compete against Colorado, compete against UCLA. Arizona's gonna be garbage. Oregon State's gonna be better, but USC is not. You know, who knows where they are? They lose a lot of guys on offense, a lot of talent on offense. Washington's gonna be rebuilding. Washington State, kind of the same thing. I mean, so they're probably going to win. You know, they'll probably lose two, maybe three conference games because I don't think they're going to be this dominant team like they were this year.
No, not without some spark that, like we said this year, that I've seen lesser teams that find the magic, you know, and that just – I mean, a brotherhood that just dies for each other and is always there and ready for every game. And you can always get that surprise. That's the great thing about football is you can come in and have a team that's – you know, you thought it was going to be 9-3 or something, and all of a sudden they are out there 11-1 or 12-0, and you're like, what the heck? This is a special group of men. So, but you're right. They're poised to have a solid, really good season.
The cupboard's not bare.
No.
With as much leaving and as many seniors as they had, the cupboard really isn't bare. The potential of picking up a couple of guys on defense and some of these guys they really like who could be playing next year. I mean, you know, they're certainly a chance. I mean, 9-3, 10-2 might be a realistic possibility. Experience is just it's just hard. You're going to lose some games with inexperience. You just are. When you're not an amazingly talented team, when you have a guy like Lawrence Taylor, and he doesn't know where he's going. But wherever he's going about 900 miles, and he makes something happen, right?
Yeah.
Because he's so talented.
And on crack.
Yeah. And so when you don't have that, the talent, when you just don't have that superior talent, like the teams in the Pac-12 are all kind of about the same as far as talent level. Some maybe a little bit more than the others, but there's not an elite team. There's not a team with just, you know, these super, superstar players on it that you can get by – on inexperience with. I'm picking the most experienced team in the Pac-12 are the ones that are going to do well. And it's at those, it's at the quarterback, but it's at those kind of key positions. You need that, those guys handling. Anyways, that's my thought on it. So as sore as I am about Utah, that, you know, next year could be a decent
year. Should compete for the Pac-12 South again. They should be in it. And my Cougs are kind of a little bit of trouble going into that.
All right. Well, this round of rivals is over.
It's over.
He's Jason Buck. I'm Scott Mitchell. We're powered by KSLSports.com. Find us on Facebook at The Rivals Podcast, Twitter at The Rivals Show. And until then, please, please, please drive responsibly. Buckle up. Don't shoot your eye out. And whatever you do,
don't shoot your eye out.
Whatever you do, don't act like Jason.